Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Dre, blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
I'm gonna get that in there.
What is the time, Rob?
It's now, baby. It's now talking sports with the 12th man. We're here to stay, people.
I think Rob just had an extra dose of caffeine, but that's what's up, man. I love it. I love it. Of course, you're talking sports with the 12th man on a special Wednesday night edition. Man, today is, of course, April the 16th. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Robert Ford. I got to check in with Mr. Farber and Mr. Rob Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, doing great. Couldn't be better. It's a great time of the year. Tonight's the last night of the NBA regular season. Get ready for NBA playoffs. We got a lot to talk about, people. We got the NFL draft coming up soon still, less than a month away. NBA playoffs starting Saturday. Then we have the NBA draft coming up in June. Hey, this is a great time of the year. Training camps, NFL starting in late July. So we're going to be pretty busy, people.
College football is right around the corner, so, I mean, you know, it is a lot of things. We got some draft talk to get into.
And we're in the middle of baseball season. We just finished the Masters, so a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. So, of course, let's throw the numbers. Rob, you did a fabulous job of kind of setting the stage. I'm going to throw the numbers out if you want to call and join us on this special night. If you want to give us a call, we invite you to do so. The number, it is toll-free. It's 424-243-9519. That's the number to call into our show. Also, we're on Facebook. Rob, thank you, man, for checking, for posting the mock draft, too. We also posted our show. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/12thmansports. We're talking sports with the 12th man. If you put that in the search field, you will be able to find us. And finally, if you didn't know, we are also available via Twitter. So a lot of ways you can touch with us. If you want to follow us on Twitter, that number, it is at the number 12THMAN Sports. Man, we got a lot of retweets, a lot of engagements and conversations. That's what we do. Man, woo! T-Rob, you ready to get this party started?
Man, let's rock and roll, Doc. We got a lot to cover. 45 minutes, a little less than that.
Here we go. Let's talk about the Clippers. And you talk about a squad that's always been like the little brother to the L.A. Lakers. They have done it, Rob. They have had a franchise record, 57 games. Man. Are they the cream of the crop for the West, Rob? Or, can they even compete for the NBA championship? What are your thoughts on the Clippers? Doc Rivers, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of controversy about him moving from Boston to the Clippers, but he's actually proved this wrong. We knew that he was a pretty good coach, you know, excellent coach. And he just took this Clippers team to the franchise best. What do you think about their opportunities for coming out the West?
Well, I'll tell you what, you like Doc Rivers, has been a playoff-tested head coach. And, you know, I think the Clippers are slightly better than what they were on last season. And right now, of course, they are trailing the Portland Trailblazers so far tonight. And they're resting some of the key players. And I'm trying to get the results of the Oklahoma City game tonight. So it looks like... So it looks like Oklahoma City has the number 2 seed. That has been secured. The Clippers now have the number 3 seed, so that's locked in for the Clippers. So the way things are looking at the moment, the Clippers will be the number 3 seed, and they would play the Golden State Warriors at the number 6 seed. I like the Clippers in that matchup, so I do like the Clippers to move to the second round, but I still don't like them against the Thunder. And I will still take OKC to win in that second round. And so I think it's a tough situation for the Clippers team, but the West is just extremely loaded. And, I think we're going to see OKC, Spurs, Western Conference final.
Yeah, the old reliable. They're almost like the Spurs are like the old faithful. They are securing the number 1 seed, if I'm not mistaken, when I just looked it up this afternoon. So you talk about a squad that's just they just keep doing what they do, Rob. Looks like the OKC is the second seed, as we talked about. you know. But right now, I pretty much agree with you. I definitely think that I think the Clippers can definitely put up a good fight. And like you mentioned earlier, because of Doc Rivers as kind of having that playoff experience, hopefully he'll instill a little toughness with him. You know, kind of tell him this is how we're going to do. As far as having that mental toughness whenever he was part of the Boston Celtics. Maybe that will give them a little edge, Rob. I'm not saying it's going to help them out, but you have to be impressed with their record, you know, coming out of the West, because the West is definitely a pretty tough league as compared to the East, kind of a different style. But no doubt, I definitely think it's going to be 1-2. I think you're right on the head with the OKC and the Spurs as kind of like wrapping up for the finals for sure in the West.
But I will say this, though. I think OKC and the Clippers is a seven-game series in the second round, but I think OKC pulls that out in the end. I think it's going to be an extremely, very close series. I think the Clippers are definitely improved and will give them all they can handle. But I think a healthy Thunder team is slightly better than a healthy Clippers team. And so I would take the Thunder in that series. As good as Chris Paul is, he typically has trouble with Russell Westbrook, you know, size disadvantage. You know, there's two point guards that give Chris Paul trouble when they're healthy, and there's Darren Williams and Russell Westbrook. Even though I think overall Chris Paul is still the best point guard in the league, but when they match up head-to-head, Darren Williams and Russell Westbrook gives them problems. And so I would go with the Thunder if Westbrook is definitely healthy. I would definitely go with the Thunder to win that series. In a seven-game series. I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles here recently in the last month or two, and the Clippers are definitely the new team. They are the team in Los Angeles at the moment. That's the stars are going to see the Clippers now with the Lakers being down. So they are Los Angeles team at the moment.
That is simply amazing. We'll keep an eye on that as well. And, Rob, I think we talked about this a little bit of last year, and that always seems like for some reason, if you're in the playoffs, it's a way for you to kind of expose a lot of weaknesses that your team has. So if this is a situation, you know, where the Clippers, they had that franchise record win total. And the playoffs is a good way to kind of figure out how to get better for next year. So you can kind of figure out your strengths and weaknesses, especially for certain players. It was a strength for Kevin Durant to figure out what he needed to improve for the offseason. So I do think certain instances, like going against the top teams, will prepare you into next season. So, you know, this is a great experience for those younger players. Like I said, I got to give I know it's going to go seven games definitely because of Doc Rivers, and hopefully they'll kind of figure out a way to maybe there's a missing piece or you know, maybe have a different matchup, you know, like we talked about with Chris Paul not matching up with certain point guards. Maybe this is a situation where, you know, maybe a different player will match up against Russell Westbrook or something like that. So there's always good things and ways to make your team better during the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, you have to, another thing you have to look at with the Clippers, you know, you picked up a guy like Danny Granger. You know, hopefully, you know, he's, you know, healthy now. Maybe you can throw some different matchups at Westbrook to free Chris Paul up. So you can look at those kind of options as well. Well, you have Matt Barnes, you put somebody with some long arms on him and things of that nature.
I love it, man. That's fantastic. Let's keep moving here. Let's talk more or less about the you know, this is, I don't know if this is a big problem, but I guess the question we have is, should the NBA be concerned, Rob, about teams tanking for draft position? So, you know, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. The NBA is one of the leagues in that if you are the worst team, you're not guaranteed that number one pick. You're just kind of guaranteed to have more of the ping pong balls in that particular instance. I kind of like the fact that they kind of do a lottery in this particular instance. But you know, I don't know if it's good for the overall league in that particular instance as far as that. But like I said, the flip side is I do like the fact that if you tank, you're not guaranteed the number one pick. So, you know, it's kind of one of those catch-22 situations if you're looking at, you know, a team like the Sixers. At least they tried to play hard. But is it good to have such a young player that comes in to make an impact? I mean, that's definitely something to talk about as well, Rob, as far as what's coming up for the players in the upcoming NBA draft.
Well, I think, you know, when you think about the NBA lottery, the lottery came into effect I think 84 was the first year it went into effect. And the problem the NBA was having in the late 70s, early 80s, you had teams tanking to get the number one pick because you had some superstar players coming out. You look at the 79 draft, you had Magic and Bird. You know, you look at some of those drafts, you had Hakeem Olajuwon, I think, in 83. 84, mm-hmm. you had Patrick Ewing. You had Charles Barkley. You had Michael Jordan, all in the same draft. And so those were some star-studded NBA drafts, and so teams were tanking. And so the NBA said, hey, okay, this is what we're going to do now. So we're going to hope that this will prevent teams from tanking. Teams that miss the playoffs are going to throw you in the lottery.
Mm.
And which, you know, I totally like the concept. Now, here's the situation this year. In most years, I think the NBA has been well off with teams not tanking, but this year I think it has been a problem. Philadelphia's pretty much traded almost their whole roster. Evan Turner, Drew Holiday, just to name a few, and the big guy, the center, Spencer Hawes. Philadelphia's traded almost their whole roster. Just, and this is Philly's mindset here. Everyone has said this is going to be a loaded NBA draft ever since last summer. And so Philly's mindset is, hey, all right, there is a lottery, but if we're the worst team in the league, at worst we're going to pick four, and this is a deep draft. And second, if we're the second worst team, at worst we're going to pick five, and it's still a deep draft. And
wow.
So, but here's my thing here. I think this is a deep draft, I will admit to that, but I don't think it's as star-studded as I think people anticipated being. You know, a lot of people thought Andrew Wiggins was going to be the next LeBron James. I don't see that. I don't see Wiggins as being a LeBron James. I see Wiggins, you know, at best maybe a Scottie Pippen-type player as a ceiling. And obviously Scottie Pippen is a great player.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I think at best he can be that type of player. You know, at worst maybe a Danny Granger-type player, which is a pretty good player too. But not the superstar kind of player like LeBron James is. And so I don't think you're getting, you know, quite Jabari Parker. I think he's going to be a very good NBA player. I'm not so sure he's going to be a great NBA player. Yeah.
I remember earlier you said that you liked Jabari Parker. I think you compared him with like a top three player, even a franchise type player. I remember earlier, so look, I could be off when we were talking about that. We got to check the tape, but I thought you spoke pretty highly.
No, I don't think I'll say
that.
I think he's a top three player in this draft. There's no doubt about it. But
okay.
I don't think we're going to get a. I think these players are going to be some very good NBA pros. I don't know if they're going to be great NBA pros. But I do think there's a lot of good players in this draft. But I think, based on my evaluation here, I don't know if we got a superstar player.
Okay. Okay.
Embiid may
okay.
be the closest, just because he's an athletic big man. He can block shots, and who could turn out to be a 17 and 12 and 3 to 4 blocks a game.
All right, I'll give that to you for sure. So, like I said, it was that's pretty interesting too. I mean, like I said, you know, I mean, there's some players, and we talked about it. I think you did a great job of giving us the history, Rob, of the whole draft lottery, which is fantastic. And like you said, now there's definitely a shift as far as the players because, you know, we only get to see them limited amount of time as far as, you know, they get built up through the year. There's tournaments. If something happens, then instantly they're going to the NBA. Now, granted, there's no confirmation. I don't think I've heard confirmation as far as Jabari Parker going. I know we've got some other guys that have made some confirmations as well, too. But, you know, obviously it's a no-brainer that if Wiggins, you know, Julius Randle come out, Jabari Parker, those are the top three players. We got the center from Kentucky as well. So, you know, keep an eye on that situation as well. And like you said, it is a gamble, Rob, because there is no guarantee that these players are going to become, like you said, the next Charles Barkley or the next, you know, even Scottie Pippen, even though we consider him, you know, he was a great player. I mean, you're really not sure how these players are going to evolve due to how the NBA has played. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. I don't know if you want to kind of have any last thoughts as far as that particular thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that.
Yeah. Getting back to Jabari Parker, I think he is going to make a decision here in the next few days. So we'll probably get an official decision with Jabari Parker here pretty soon. But yeah, as you agree, it is somewhat of a crapshoot. And but you know, I think a year ago, most NBA GMs and scouts were looking at least 3 to 4 players out of this draft that had superstar potential. And I think star potential, not superstar potential.
Gotcha. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that, too. Like I said, let's go ahead and, before I get up the numbers, I do want to let you do a quick fantasy basketball shout-out, if you will, Rob, and we'll pull out the numbers right after you do that, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we finished our fantasy basketball league here just over a week or so ago. And I want to give a shout-out to Ronald. Anthony Davis, the new 23 was the name of his fantasy team. He beat me in the championship series. And so we want to give a shout-out to him. I'm coming for you next year. And congratulations to him on winning and participating in our fantasy basketball. Look forward to it again. Stay tuned for information on our fantasy football season. We'll probably start posting that here coming up in July.
Gotcha. Well, once again, going to call into the show. We are just having a great time, as always, on a special Wednesday night edition, talking sports with the 12th man. The number to call into the show is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519 is the number. All right. So let's keep moving here. And I guess we're going to switch gears, like I always love to say, and we're going to talk about a lot of NFL. I do want to throw a curveball in there, Rob, too, because I know we were talking about, I think this is a great topic, because we're always listening to sports talk and to get show topics and other things like that. And I think if we do want to approach this at some point, so I do want to talk about which sport has the best minor league system. And I think what brought this up, Rob, was there are some comments as far as African Americans in baseball and how there's not a lack of us. And we're thinking about, you know, what systems are or sports are kind of conducive to that as far as, you know, the NFL seems to have the best system because you're able to watch a player. Sometimes you can watch him through high school, and then he gets, you know, recruited, and then he's able to see the, you know, got 3 years to see him in college, do the role. And then, you know, you kind of built it up. You can see him on television, and you're able to follow that player before he makes it to the NFL, so you already have that prepackaged superstar. As opposed to the NBA, you know, you may watch a little, you know, high school and clips or something like that. Then, you know, they get 1 year in college, as it looks like, you know, now because of the one-and-done rule, and they're gone, and then, you know, they have to, it takes them longer to kind of hit that as far as, in, you know, hit the league. Baseball, you know, the minor league system, there's less scholarships. There's not really a way for you to televise those games, and then by the time you hit baseball, like, oh, okay, that's a superstar, and you have more Latinos and not as many African-Americans. So I know I went a little diatribe, but I was just kind of curious as far as, you know, maybe we'll talk about that at some point as far as which sport has it. It was just a great topic for me to think about, too, so, you know. That was just me.
I think overall baseball probably has the best minor league system because each team has their own three teams that they actually able to draft and actually develop the players. I think when you look at NFL and the NBA, I think definitely the NFL probably has a better system because obviously players have to stay in school for 3 years. So they get some good training in college before they get to the NFL level. So, yeah, I would rank the major leagues as having the best minor league system because they're able to draft and actually work them back up through the majors, through their farm system to get them the right coaching and training. Then I would rate the NFL second because, once again, they get 3 years in college and get the training and development that they need. And then, of course, they NBA, unfortunately, you know, players can leave after 1 year. So a lot of times these players are not quite ready to play at a professional level yet that's coming out after 1 year. Of course, you've had several that have done it and been great, but there are several that haven't been that have potential to be better if they would have got more seasoning, more coaching in college.
Love it. Good synopsis. I appreciate you taking the curveball. That was fantastic. All right, big news. If you are a Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. Looks like Chris Johnson, Rob, has actually signed with the New York Jets. I know I got to look over the deal that he actually signed. But there's a movie that's called
It's a two-year deal. I don't know the dollar amounts on it.
Yeah, I was looking at that, too, to kind of see exactly what they had. But and maybe it'll come across the screen here as I'm scrolling and kind of keeping an eye on this as well. But just as a quick note, there's a movie, Rob, that's called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I don't know, it's talking about you know, certain, you know, thing that Brad Pitt's have. And I want to say the Curious Case of Chris Johnson.
Like that movie.
What happened to Chris Johnson? It seems like, you know, he kind of disappeared. And maybe, I don't know what happened, because he's talking about a guy that rushed for over 2,000 yards. You know, this was 5 years ago. You pretty much thought this dude was a breakout star. And if someone would have told me that he'd been traded or he would have been as bad as he has been, I would have said, you're crazy. So I guess let's kind of ask a two-part question. Is this a good one for the Jets? He probably has a chip on his shoulder. And what happened to Chris Johnson as far as a football player?
Well, I think this is why GMs and personnel and head coaches around the National Football League have pretty much devalued the running back position. If you look at it now, a lot of teams around the league prefer to have 3 to 4 running backs and run a platoon system as opposed to being one back. Having one main running back just wears the running back out, and I think that's a classic example with Chris Johnson of being the guy in Tennessee. After 3-4 years of that wear and tear, it just takes a toll on you. And I think here the situation with the New York Jets, I think if you're a New York Jets fan, I think this is a good situation here because you have Chris Ivory, you have Belon Powell on the roster already, and now you're throwing Chris Johnson. What you want to do is have running backs to give you a different change of pace. Chris Ivory and Powell are more power runners. They're more punishing runners. Johnson can come in and catch the ball out of the backfield, be more of a slasher. And he still has the burst when you need it. He still has that burst where he can get to that next level of defense. And so I think this is a nice move for the Jets. And now they can platoon some of their running backs. And now if they get the quarterback situation together and get some weapons at the wideout position, you know, this could be a better offense. And you look at the Jets here, the offensive line is much better than Tennessee's, too. Very good offensive line in New York. So this could be a better situation for him, too. But it allows him to be able to I think you're going to see where his carries are going to go down to 12 to 15 a game, whereas opposed to you counting on him for 20 to 30 carries as the lead guy in Tennessee.
Yeah, like you said, I agree with you in the fact that you do have kind of a three-headed monster in running backs. You give an opportunity to kind of make a play. I do have to say it's very interesting, Rob, with the addition of Michael Vick to that squad, too, because anytime that you have Vick, he seems to always elevate the running game because he is a threat in that particular instance. So, you know, maybe that'll open up some things for Chris Johnson and also for the other running backs for sure. If we're thinking that he's going to be a quarterback, I mean, he still has to battle against Geno Smith if you think that Geno isn't quite ready, Rob. But I think having Vick, you know, Chris Johnson is definitely, you know, that's a lot of explosive players on that particular team right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting team to watch. Of course, you know, a Rex Ryan coach team will be interesting enough with his personality. And now with some of those personalities on the team, Michael Vick, Geno Smith, it's going to be an interesting quarterback battle. And then, like I said, now you have some running backs, Chris Johnson, Belon Powell, and Chris Ivory, of course. And they picked up wide receiver Eric Decker from the Broncos. So it'll be interesting to see how he improves that receiver position as well. And I look for the Jets to draft a wide receiver in this draft somewhere along the first three rounds. So that should be interesting. And I know we hadn't got to the mock draft yet, but in the first round I had them taking Brandon Cooks, wide receiver from Oregon State. You're talking about a guy who's rising up through the draft, who's got great speed, great hands, well coached at Oregon State by Mike Riley. And this is a guy NFL scouts and GMs are falling in love with at the moment. And so we're giving you a sneak preview into the mock draft here.
Appreciate that, too. You know, word on the street, too, is that the Jets were actually entertaining Sidney Rice as well. I'm not sure where that's going to go but or how that affects their draft status, too. But, you know, that's a little word on the street. Rob, I want to say, too, that there was a sign until I think Josh Freeman signed with the Giants, believe it or not, too. So we'll keep an eye as far as that, too. But, I think it's a huge, exciting time as far as the NFL. Can never get enough of that. Actually, he's returning to Seattle. Wow, okay. Thought he was leaving. That's interesting. Okay. interesting. I'm checking out the news and notes as we talk. So, anyway, let's keep it moving, Rob. Let's talk more or less about. I think you hit the nail on the head. Let's jump right in. We got about 5 minutes, and this gives us a good time to talk before we jump into that. We're going to talk about what do you think the most sacred stadium in the NFL before we talk about our NFL mock draft.
Well, I think for the most part, this is probably an easy one. And maybe it's not fair for me to go first because you probably have to think of another one. But the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field in Green Bay. I mean, of course, it's probably not a more storied NFL stadium in the NFL right now. A lot of history, a lot of great games have been played in that stadium. And so it's pretty hard to top that one. You know, if I was to think of an honorable mention, I'd probably have to go with Soldier Field in Chicago. That's another one that's been a while, been around for a while as well.
Yeah, I mean, those are probably the ones. If you're thinking of history, you got to go Lambeau because obviously the Super Bowl trophy is named after that. I mean, that's just the be all end all, if you will. If you like new stadiums, maybe you'll go with maybe the Cowboys Stadium. But like you talked about history, you know. Lambeau Field, second is probably Soldier Field, as you mentioned. I mean, just as far as dynamics, I mean, I can't think of anything else. If you want to just kind of go just off the radar with, you know, a place that we have to play, maybe you're thinking of maybe the Raiders because them jokers are crazy out there. But, you know, it is what it is. And you stole my thunder grabbing Lambeau Field. But, of course, I knew you were going to go that route as well for sure.
Absolutely.
Sir. All right, we have some time. I'm so excited, even though we've got about four minutes left. One more time, I'll fill out the number. 3 minutes, excuse me. One more time, I'll fill out the numbers really quickly. 424-243-9519. We got about a minute or so before we jump up to our 2 minute warning. Let's jump into some mock draft. This is very exciting. We didn't really make a lot of changes. It looks like I think we did the top 10 last time we were here. So we got to move on. I don't know if you want to recap that, Rob. If you had made any changes. And we'll just kind of spend the rest of the show talking about the first round draft, if you will, unless anything has changed. But I do have to say that I'm very curious because we can start picking pride in certain players. And I'm not – I know you've got Blake Bortles going to Houston in spite of all these changes too. And I hope this is a good move for the Texans because, you know, there's certain players that, you know – they get by with looking like Tarzan and playing like Jane. I really hope that's a good move for Houston. So I don't know if you make any thoughts before we get ready to dive into your mock draft, sir.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at the Houston Texans right now, I definitely think it's narrowed down to Bortles and Clowney. I still think they're going to lean more toward the quarterback at this point. Obviously, there's still a few more weeks into the draft. A lot could change. I do think Clowney's the best player in the draft, but obviously Houston needs a quarterback. And, you know, it's hard to succeed without one. So I still have Bortles. I still have Clowney going to St. Louis. Jeff Fisher at one point was willing to trade this pick. My understanding now is if Clowney is there, they're going to take him. They're not going to trade down. And a slight change, I have Bridgewater back up to number 3 to Jacksonville. You know, I'm hearing a lot of GMs throwing smoke signals. Saying he had bad workouts for him. I hear a lot of GMs are doing this, hoping to drop him. But so we'll see. I got a slight change in opinion where I think Jacksonville is going to go quarterback. And I still think Teddy Bridgewater, who, of course, was one point was everybody's number one pick in the draft.
Gosh, you got a minute, Rob. Go ahead and set us up for the OT portion real quick before we go on and keep it moving.
Yes, definitely. Definitely want to tune into our OT portion on tomorrow. We're about to go another 15 minutes. Unfortunately, we can't give it to you live. So click. We got a lot more NFL draft. Matter of fact, our whole OT portion is going to be spent on the draft. So if you're interested in hearing what we have to say about the draft, tune in tomorrow. Click on the same link and you'll get that OT portion. We'll be back live again on next Tuesday night, so you don't want to miss that. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It'll be 5 p.m. your time in Hawaii on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Well, thank you as always. And, yeah, tune in for sure. We appreciate the love. That's what we do. But we can't not get enough talk about the NFL. So that's what we do. then we will keep moving to the OT portion. So with that being said, good night, people. I love it. We are now official. Let's keep this party moving here in the OT portion. And I think it is worth mentioning a couple of changes because, number one, like you said, you've got Teddy Bridgewater sneaking back into the third position. I heard that the Jacksonville Jaguars had a pretty huge contingent at the Georgia Pro Day today, Rob. I know they were watching Aaron Murray. So we'll see if that was a big smoke screen. You know, maybe they're kind of evaluating all their particular choices. But, you know, we'll see that actually plays out, too. Another interesting move, you've got Khalil Mack going to Cleveland. You talk about totally unexpected. They are passing on Johnny Manziel. What do you think about this particular move, Rob? Cleveland supposedly making this move up to in your mock draft and getting Khalil Mack.
Well, you know, based on what I'm hearing, Cleveland wants to stay true to their board as much as possible. They don't want to reach for a player, even a quarterback. They really like what they saw out of Brian Hoyer last year. So they are comfortable with going with him at least another year. Feel like they would, you know, don't want to miss out on the best player available. I mean, there's some GMs that think Khalil Mack is either one or two on their draft boards. So getting him at four would be quite a steal. I mean, this guy has that kind of talent, that kind of motor. Teams are very high on him. Cleveland was started from day one as an outside backer in their 3-4 defense opposite Paul Kruger. It formed him, quite a bit of pass rushing ability right there on their defense. So you continue to improve on the defense that was already pretty good last year for Cleveland. And they feel like they started to make some strides offensively a little bit with Hoyer last year as well.
But they're definitely still interested.
I think Cleveland like Manziel. They don't like him at number four, though.
No opportunity to trade now. I'm sure that they can get him at six or something like that if they really, really wanted to.
And that's definitely a possibility. Of course, with mock drafts, we can't really predict trades. So just try to do them, worry. And I'm not so sure they would take him at six. I think if they get down to the teens, they maybe would consider Manziel somewhere along that area. So you never know. Obviously, Cleveland's got another first-round pick, number 26, as well. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I have them taking Odell Beckham Jr. in that position. At the number 20 specific spot, who's, you know, a dynamic wide receiver / kick punt returner from LSU. And Cleveland wants to be patient in this draft. They don't want to reach for a quarterback. They do feel like Zach Mettenberger and A.J. McCarron are later options that they both like and that they're willing to take as well if they don't get one in the first round that they like as well.
Yeah, good moves because, I was pretty much leaning towards Sammy Watkins at that position too, just an explosive dynamic playmaker as well. But like you said, if they get like another one like Odell Beckham, probably good value, they're not going to go any wrong too. But if they get Khalil Mack, that would be a pretty much a steal making that happen. You talk about, you would have to give them an instant thumbs up for the draft already. I know we like making fun of Cleveland. But if they pull off a Khalil Mack and maybe getting a Beckham, Brandon Cook, something like that, available, that would be a cool coup for them,
Yeah. And a little, snippet, I hadn't had a chance to post my second-round Mack, but I haven't taken Scott Christian, defensive end from Oregon State. Another guy who can be a defensive end in a 3-4 defense, continue to improve that defense as well.
Gotcha. I'd be upset at number five if Greg Robinson is down. I think he's the one guy that I actually want for the Falcons. So if he's going at number five, like as you say in the draft, that would be a little downer. But I think this is one of those situations. This guy is just going to be just a strong physical player. Put him at either right tackle, left tackle, like you talked about, potentially be a Hall of Famer. He's right there. So great move. That would be heartbreaking for me. Surprising to say, because I didn't think Jake Matthews would be available. So that's it's kind of a lesser of two evils in this particular instance, if you will.
Yeah, and obviously the difference between the two, I think if you really look at them, Greg Robinson is a better run blocker than Matthews. Matthews may be a little bit better pass blocker at this stage, but Robinson, I think, has more athleticism, more potential And I think that's why he will probably get picked just slightly ahead of Matthews at this point. And if you look at the Oakland Raiders, here's another team that's got to get a quarterback at some point in this draft and may stay true to their board as well. And I think they as well feel like that in push comes to push, they can go with Matt Schaub as a starter. He's had some success as a starter. And try not to reach and, you know, pass on a guy like Greg Robinson as well.
Like you said, if you're thinking of the ghost of Al Davis, you would think that Sammy Watkins would be the guy too. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. As always,
absolutely,
still gonna hold him to that one too. Tampa Bay, interesting pick, Derek Carr. And I guess I gotta ask questions because if you are Lovie Smith, are you saying that Mike Glennon is not the answer, or is this you're just picking the best player on the board? I mean, this is an interesting. Pick that you had them taking at number 7?
Well, I don't think they sold on Mike Glennon just yet. Obviously, you go out and get Josh McCown, and obviously at the moment, he's your starter going into next season. Lovie's already made that announcement. So, obviously, I don't think they sold on Glennon. I think they still would like to see if they can get a quarterback is available that they like here. And, you know, the Bucs, you know, even, you know, they're looking into Johnny Manziel pretty strongly as well as Teddy Bridgewater as well. Carr, I think, is more and more scouts are starting to put him higher grade on some of the other QBs. Comes from a pro-style offense, great drop-back passer already. Maybe a little bit more polished, maybe a little bit more ready for the NFL game.
I'm still kind of aware of anybody with last name Carr, but we'll see how that plays out too. But anyway, that's a small little joke. I'm glad you got that. Let's talk about number 8, Minnesota. I know Minnesota, they've been made fun of for letting picks get passed over them a couple years ago. But if Sammy Watkins is sitting there, I think they're running to the podium, Rob, with Sammy Watkins' name on that draft card, sir.
Absolutely, and you know, I think Sammy Watkins is the most dynamic offensive weapon in this draft, obviously. And, you know, as I mentioned on several of our shows in the past, this is a great positional talent draft. Clowney, Mack, Robinson, Matthews are great players. And obviously Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans are also great players. So, I mean, this could go a lot of different ways, this draft here. And at the moment, I think, you know, this is the way I kind of see it happening. And Minnesota, of course, we definitely get a dynamic player. And this is another team. They, you know, for a quarterback, they like is there at number 8. Minnesota is still high on Bridgewater. From my understanding, they're also high on Derek Carr. At this point in the draft, neither one of those guys are available. And if a guy like Sammy Watkins is there, you take the player. Minnesota is also high on Zach Mettenberger to get him in the second round possibly. And so this is, you know, teams want to stay true to their board as much as possible and don't want to reach if they don't have to.
They're hoping they're going to strike lightning in a bottle like Seattle did, getting their quarterback in the second or third round too. So we'll keep an eye on that too, Rob. You can't help but get explosive. You add Sammy Watkins to a backfield with Adrian Peterson. I mean, that's almost unfair. But we'll see how that plays out. We'll keep an eye on that if this is how the draft actually plays out for sure.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to number 9, Buffalo. This is one of my favorite wide receivers, Rob, Mike Evans. I just think this guy is going to be almost like Terrell Owens, like, but with more speed. I mean, I'm just really impressed with him. You know, if you get him, I don't think there's any excuses for EJ Manuel. You just throw it up, let Mike Evans make the play. I like this guy. I think he has the potential to be one of the better wide receivers, you know, the crop of a top 5 receiver at least coming into the league, sir.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Buffalo team, I think he's got a pretty solid defense already. You're still developing EJ Manuel, and you have a weapon already in Stevie Johnson. You add Mike Evans to the mix here. You have C.J. Spiller in the backfield. And so you have some guys. You're starting to build something there. I think, you know, the one area that Buffalo would also like to address is the offensive line. So that's another option. You know, if you may get lucky, Greg Robinson or Jake Matthews fall to him. I don't see that happening now. So if that doesn't happen, you go with Evans. At the moment, you pick up that weapon and hope you get some offensive line help a little bit later. Matter of fact, in the second round, I have them taking Cyrus Kuaju from Alabama offensive tackle, so that may help them out as well down the road.
There's also some rumors, Rob, that the Detroit Lions had a visit with Jadeveon Clowney, and I guess you're kind of wondering where is this coming from. Is this a, you know, you keep hearing some rumors as far as Detroit trading up, and I guess, you know, what do you think, you know, is there any validity to this particular rumor that's going down, or is it kind of like a smoke screen, or you know, I'm just curious as far as, you know, on our next pick, you got them taking Anthony Barr here. I know I kind of switched on the next to the next pick, but I was curious. I wanted to pull it up too, but, you know, there's some rumors that Detroit is talking about moving up. So what do you think about this particular rumor and your thoughts if that actually does happen?
Well, I mean, obviously they would like to improve their pass rush here. And most of these teams are just doing their due diligence on these players. And I think another thing you have to think about with these general managers and things, even if a guy is not in their reach this year, let's think 4 or 5 years down the road of free agency when a guy becomes available again. You know, you want to have some notes on this particular player for down the road as well. So you're not really just thinking about this draft. And so these are teams, these are personnel directors doing all the possible homework they have so they can have on file for these players and individuals. And even if Detroit can't get up, you're thinking down the road as well. You want to have as much information. You want to have as much interviews, ask questions, things of that nature. You want to have all that information on file while you can. Because once he's under contract and drafted by another team, you can't talk to him.
Gotcha, gotcha. Very interesting. Let's keep an eye on everything. I like it. We got about 4 minutes, Rob. We always seem to go fast whenever we do this, but it's nothing. I love it. Tennessee, you've been pretty consistent with this pick. I think it's been kind of a cornerback. You haven't taken Justin Gilbert. My apologies. I went back to say that to Jeff Fisher, but, yeah, they got a new coach for Tennessee. You know, this is just a great move for them getting Justin Gilbert, the cornerback from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, he's got good size. He's got the capability of being there. He's got potential to be a great press cover corner in the league. He's got good arm length. He's about 6 feet tall, about 195 pounds. He's got good speed as well. And so he's got the capability. Even though he only played at about 22% of his snaps at Oklahoma State as a press corner, I think scouts and GMs think he's got the potential to be a very good press cover corner in the league. And so that's just where we're looking at him here. Tennessee can use some help at the cornerback position as well.
Good move here. The New York Giants, Eric Ebron, the ultra-talented tight end from North Carolina. You definitely put him up there, the Jimmy Graham, Tony Gonzalez type. Definitely needs to improve his blocking. We talked about the offensive line trouble, but you had him going with a skill position player. We got about 2 minutes left in the show. What about this pick?
Yeah, a little bit of a change. For the most part, I've been stuck on the Giants taking an offensive lineman here, like a Taylor Lewan. Made a slight change here. They can use another weapon. Of course, there's no Hakeem Hicks anymore. On the roster. Victor Cruz looked slightly down last year. But I have them taking offensive tackle in the second round, Morgan Moses from Virginia. So I'm going to have them go with Ebron here, give Eli a safety valve, and then try to improve that offensive line. And they made some moves in free agency in the offensive line, too. I don't think it's enough. I think they still need to get some more help in the draft as well. Their offensive line may have been the worst in the league last year.
That's hard to believe. I think the Falcons are up there, too. Officially, Rob, we got 2 minutes. Let's go ahead and wrap up another excellent edition of Talking Sports for 12 minutes. Now we got 1 minute. I'll leave it on you, sir.
All right. We wish, we can cover that whole draft, but, of course, you know, take a look at our Facebook and Twitter pages. You can get the rest of our drafts. Give us our feedback. Give us some feedback on what you think of it. But once again,
definitely,
next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and that's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. So join us on next Tuesday night, and stay tuned for all updates regarding 12th Man Sports. Good night, people.
Good night, people. We love you for checking in. Rob, excellent show tonight, sir. As always, appreciate your feedback, getting the topics to getting those posted and posting. We got some good responses, too. So big shout-out to everyone who actually made some comments. But we will see you guys next week, same time, same channel. Be safe out there. other than that, Rob, good show, and I'll talk to you next week.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.